Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vince.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you are in the world, our heart is to add value to your life.
That's right.
Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a topic in the Bible, whether it's a life skill that you're looking to develop and hone in on, allow us to be an outlet for you.
Yes, and our prayer is that wherever you are, whether you're right here in service or you're out in the world in the nation, listen, our prayer is that God meets you right where you are. We all have needs, we all have things, but our God is able, and He's able to bless you and get you where you need to be.
We have hundreds of hours of digital content that is available for you to consume free of charge. Freely we receive, freely we want to give it back to you. So make it a point to check out our page, check out our website at theoutletcommunity.com, and you'll be able to find countless hours of videos, podcasts, and other material to help you grow in your walk with God.
Hey, if you like some of the content, like, subscribe, share it, and we'd love that. See your family and friends.
So open up your heart and get ready to receive all that God has for you. Website or download the podcast on part one of How to Produce Under Pressure, where we invited everyone and encouraged everyone to lean into God's correction, His care, and His character, because when we're pruned, that's how God gives His correction. When we're purified, that's how God shows His care. And when we remain in Him and when we spend time with Him, that's how God reveals His character to us. And we want to continue in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 6. It says, "So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested. It is being tempted as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." The focus here is this next line. "So when your faith remains strong through many trials," your faith should remain strong through many tests, temptation, and trials. "When it remains strong, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus," I need to read up here. "Through many trials, will bring you much praise and glory on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." We also went to Proverbs 24 and 10. And in Proverbs 24 and 10, it says, "If you fail, give up, stop forward progress, or become passive under pressure, your strength is too small." And so we want to help undergird you. Want to help give you some basics that you can apply outside of Sunday morning. And as we continue part two today, we are going to talk about how to fight temptation.
Amen. Wasn't that a song? How to fight fighting temptation?
That's a movie.
That's a movie. I knew it was something.
Now, there were the temptations.
No, I'm not talking about that. It was just my imagination.
Huh? Come on. Come on. All right, we'll continue in there.
Fighting temptation.
So when we are faced with tests and trials, all of us are faced with tests and trials. Each of us are tempted to give up on what we believe. Mm-hmm. That is a premier tactic of the enemy, mm-hmm. is that he looks for the opportune moment when your systems and your structure is the weakest, to begin to suggest that you may not want to hold on to the strength of your convictions and the strength of what it is that you believe.
So you mean to tell me temptation's for everybody?
Everyone gets tempted. Can we say and type in, everyone gets tempted? Oh, yeah, there's freedom in just being honest. Let's get even more honest, and everybody say and type in, I get tempted.
I get tempted.
All right. Didn't you see there was so much freedom in you being honest that we all face temptation?
Yes.
But thanks be to God that temptation, watch this, is not automatically stronger than the believer.
Thank you, Lord. It feels like that sometimes.
But we give in to any temptation that we want to give in to once we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Mm. And we have to take away the power of sin and take on the responsibility of us living a godly life.
Amen.
As long as we're blaming the devil made me do it, I would not have responded that way if you didn't come at me that way.
Yep.
If the day wasn't so stressful, then maybe I wouldn't have. If my spouse was better to me, then we probably wouldn't have. Do you all feel where we're coming from right now? Taking away the power of sin and saying, the moment I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, every sin I commit is a choice. I feel like the saints of old. Holiness is still right.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to be good.
Be good.
So before we get into how to fight temptation, let's answer this question. So what is temptation? I find that in church, we often ask people to do something without properly identifying what we're asking them to do. So they end up leaving services helpless. And they end up feeling less than because they're facing something and they don't know where it's coming from. So let's be honest about what is temptation. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. We all have weaknesses. All of us. Mine just happened to be Little Caesars.
I mean, that's funny, but in the church, we do tend to judge weaknesses, don't we?
And we judge the ones that aren't culturally acceptable.
Right. We typically judge the ones you can readily see.
Or that culture doesn't smile at or create things around to support. But if God is calling us to a particular standard, and this is where your walk with God comes in, is that if he is asking you to do something, he's asking you to do that. And you obeying what he's asking you to do is not based on, is someone else doing what he asked them to do? And so there are times in our life where we like to pat ourselves on the back because we compare our walk to the walk we can see in someone else, where at least I'm not like.
At least I'm not doing that.
No. We want to call everyone higher.
Amen.
I don't believe as the body of Christ we were called to live on the line of integrity. Mm-mm. I believe as the body of Christ we are called to live, as the word says, above reproach. Mm-hmm. He didn't say live at reproach. He said live above reproach. And unfortunately in the church, we've lost our ability and our witness of being people of character. Because we compare ourselves to those who are outside of the church who don't have the same standard of conduct that we have been given in the Word of God. Man, I'm feeling real pastoral this morning.
It's okay. Go ahead now.
If you want to win someone over, let your lifestyle do the teaching. You can argue philosophy. You can argue tradition. You can't argue fruit and proof. So the goal in our life is to produce the God kind of fruit. But the only way to produce the God kind of fruit is to overcome temptation, not if it comes.
When?
So what is temptation? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. It says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful to not fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. Amen. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. If you've ever been tempted, because I believe the word of God, and I believe it's true. If you've ever been tempted, it's a sign that you're stronger than that temptation. When you're tempted, it goes on to say, he will show you a way out so you can endure what came in. Whenever you're tempted, there's always a way out.
Amen.
I'm reminded of Luke chapter 4. Please write Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 17 down. And that's further study. That's for you to go home and look at the model example to how Jesus faced temptation. Jesus was considered the hypostatic union. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He was tempted, as Hebrews says, just as we all are, yet without sin. And it's important to understand the humanity of Christ, because you're not being asked to do something that God himself wasn't willing to lead the way and do first. So in Luke chapter 4, again, that's a later thing I want you to research, is right after Jesus was baptized, right after he made a stand to the world and his public declaration of faith, immediately Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, that's when he was tempted by the devil. But Satan came at the end of 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, of praying. Because Satan does not care if you had a great time in the spirit with God. He is going to show up immediately for the word that you receive. The moment you take a stand that I am no longer going to live like the old me, immediately you are going to be faced with a temptation to go back to what you used to do.
Yes. And if Jesus, our Savior, 100% God, as he said, 100% man was tempted in this manner, y'all, how much more would we be tempted? And the enemy knows that. And let me just tell you something about him, too. He's been studying you, the enemy. He knows your vices. If you like tall, dark, and handsome, and you done made a stance, you're going to be celibate, guess what the enemy going to right up in your face, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome. You're like, I wasn't even looking for you. You take a stance to, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be disciplined in my body.
Then Popeyes come out with strawberry biscuits.
They go, yeah, right. You go to work, they're giving away free donuts and ice cream. You're like, what is this?
He knows what gets you. So if he knows your pressure points, you need to be aware of your pressure points and not deny your pressure points.
Yes.
You need to put in protections against your pressure points so that you don't have to push your pressure points just to see how strong you are. If you know, we can't be in this house alone, and if I'm trying to do this thing the right way, and it's Saturday night, and the mood is right, how did my clothes get over there? I don't know what happened.
What's the song? It's whoop, there it goes. It's like, now look, you know, you. Now. Y'all know that song? I don't know. Y'all don't know that song? Good, don't know that song. But if you know that song, she was lying.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. How did that happen?
So temptation is defined as a mental state,
yes,
by which we are enticed to sin or lapse from faith and holiness.
And I want to say that's the direction. First, you lapse out of faith. Then, once you're out of faith, the unholiness thing will just happen because we're no longer in faith.
What I noticed in Luke chapter 4, and we had this great conversation on the way in. After 40 days and 40 nights, if you all did not eat after 40 days and 40 nights, what's the main thing that's going to be on your mind? Food.
If I didn't eat after one day, I think that's not.
So the first thing Satan came to tempt Jesus with was, hey, are you hungry? He said, absolutely, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So when the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So whenever temptation comes up, the response doesn't have to be no, no, no. The response has to be a scripture that reaffirms your belief in the word on that area.
In fact, I will go so far as to say this. We don't overcome our flesh by fighting our flesh. That is not how we overcome. But we overcome our flesh by yielding to the Spirit. That is the only way you're going to conquer your flesh. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to walk in more peace today. Enemy can't steal my peace. And you're sitting here fighting with your flesh. Or, no, I can't do that. And it's none of that will help you. None of that will help you. Doing things out of your own strength in your own way, that will not help you. But yielding to the Spirit.
That brings up a great point. Often, we want to feel good and get the credit for overcoming temptation in our own strength. So we put ourselves into extreme, non-biblical bondage and toxicity. Because we want to feel like I worked hard to overcome this. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about structure. You need structure. But what I'm talking about is abuse of your body to overcome a craving of the flesh. Where instead of being abusive to your body, you take the impulse, the desire, and replace it with a healthy impulse and a healthy desire. Case in point, we have really a fun time with our trainer, but I was concerned because about 3 months in with our personal trainer, she not one time ever dogged me out or belittled me or said, you weak, lazy slob, you need to get yourself together. I can't believe you had sugar in your diet this week. I said, listen, for me and how I was raised, I need you to dog me out for me to feel better.
And to that point, we always thought the way that you do things is you go cold turkey, right? So then you don't do anything. You don't do any kind of sweets, any kind of nothing.
You starve yourself.
You starve yourself.
Y'all out here drinking Bermuda grass, trying to lose weight, detoxify your liver. Now, not only are you hungry, but you mad, your breath stank. I mean, it's just a whole host of things that we're trying to do to feel like we're making some progress. I said, the issue is most people think that they're hungry when they're really thirsty. And so replace that initial craving, drink 32 ounces of water, and then see how you feel.
Have you all heard that before? Sometimes when your body is saying it's hungry, it's really just wanting water.
And so with the sinful desires that arise, we try to fill them with all of these other tempting means when we actually need the water of the Word of God to fill that void that we're trying to fill.
Amen.
So,
Where does
temptation come from? Go with me to James chapter 1. Where does temptation come from then? Because hanging around church, I really don't know. I'm going to be honest. I was confused. So go to James chapter 1, verse 12. Where does temptation come from? And I believe by you all seeing what temptation is, where it comes from. When you're tempted after you leave church today, you will begin to put together an action plan to not continue to succumb to the same things that have tripped you up and have stopped you from being all that God has called you to be. James chapter 1, and I love how the word gives us the answer. James chapter 1, verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. I want to have a little fun right now.
Because I know I didn't heard it. You heard it, babe?
Anybody ever heard that sometimes God puts things in your life
to see how much you can stand?
That's not what his Bible says.
No.
It says God doesn't tempt us with evil. So if God's not putting that in our life, because that also makes us feel good, like I fell to it, but the Lord put it there, so it should have been there. And maybe next time when he put it there, I'm going to do better. But you know what? Next time I'm going to help him, and I'm going to add a little something extra to it just to see it.
No.
He is saying in James chapter 1, verse 12, don't say God is tempting me, because God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Here is where temptation comes from: our own desire. Again, you got to build last week and bring it into this week. All of us were born into a sin nature with a root of iniquity. No one had to teach you how to sin. It was how you were born into this world. What must be taught by following and yielding to the indwelling of Holy Spirit is how to overcome that old way of temptation and live by the leading and guidance of God's Spirit to do what is right. So every time you are tempted is a reminder that I still need to crucify this flesh. That just because I came to church, just because I serve here, just because I do that, does not mean I am still not human.
Amen. You just think about the Luke 4 reference. He came from doing the most spiritual thing you can do. He was fasting. He was being baptized. Now, when we do spiritual things in church, we like, praise God, we did our thing for church today. We went to Bible study. Then we went to Sunday service. Then we got baptized. Then we did communion. I did the most spiritual things I could do during the week, and then the enemy still comes.
And I've noticed a pattern of when he comes and when we're most aware of temptation, when we're one of two things, either in fear or fatigue. Most of the temptation that you've fallen into has either been because you were afraid of something.
Yes.
Fear of missing out.
Yep.
Fear of not getting what you need. Or you were flat out exhausted. And so temptation doesn't have more power than the believer.
No.
But if the believer isn't connected to its power supply, it will allow something that has no power to overtake it. So if you are a born-again Christian, you must retire the phrase, I couldn't help myself.
Oh, no. Yep.
You could.
You could.
You didn't want to. And when you take ownership that I'm acting this way because this is what I'm choosing to do, you take away the power of sin and trust in the power of God to redirect and reform your habits and your lifestyle to reflect the character of Jesus Christ.
And I will also say, by being honest with yourself, of man, that's what I wanted. That was somewhere in my heart. That was in my that desire, that temptation, that thing. I think it helps us also to be honest and to get healing and to get the thing we need. Because without honesty, y'all, we're not going to get healed. And until we become honest with ourselves about this is the thing I struggle with. I know so many believers that struggle with things, struggle with sin, struggle with strongholds. They tell nobody. And let me tell you what's happening to you the whole time. You are going under. You are floundering. honestly.
Absolutely.
And that's where the enemy wants you. He wants you isolated, thinking you're the only one that's going through this, thinking that if you tell someone you're going through this, they're going to judge you, they're going to mistreat you, they're going to belittle you. So we keep our stuff to ourselves. All the while, we're suffering. What is it? Suffering in silence.
That's right.
Letting the enemy beat up on us. Because you're thinking, there's no way I've been walking with the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and I'm dealing with this. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. You're still going to experience things. They're going to be ugly things. They're going to be things you don't want to admit. But hey, the Word of God says, if you confess your faults, your weaknesses, I'm going to be open with you, vulnerable with you, share with you what I'm going through.
That's right.
And it says, and that person you tell it to are to pray for you, not tell on you, not gossip about you, but pray for you. Confess your faults one to another. Why? So that you may be healed.
That's right.
Sometimes our healing will only come in the context of accountability.
That's right. The more power you have, the more accountable you need to become.
Yes.
Accountability should be your best friend.
Amen.
The more power you have, the more accountable you should become.
And the more you confess it, the less power it has over you.
God is all powerful. God is omnipresent, everywhere at once. God is omniscient. He's all knowing. Yet, he holds himself accountable to his word.
Yes, he does.
Now, I want to also pull out in James chapter 1 in the text that we've been just now reading about temptation comes from our own desires. Number one, it is not a sin to be tempted. Someone say and type in, it is not a sin to be tempted.
Not a sin to be tempted.
All right, because some of us think, I'm tempted. All right, we out here now. Let's say it with some confidence. It is not a sin to be tempted.
Not a sin to be tempted.
It is not a sin to be tempted. Get honest when you're tempted.
Yes.
But it's not a sin when you're tempted. It becomes a sin when you allow the temptation to, here's the next phrase, to entice and then drag you away from what you believe.
So you may be enticed, but you don't got to be drug away.
There are individuals who, before the pandemic, used to knock on my door or ring my doorbell to want to get me to be a part of whatever they wanted me to become a part of. And just because they knocked on my door and rang my doorbell, it didn't mean I needed to open it. Every day, sin is going to be knocking at the door, saying, why don't you accept the package of death, decay, and destruction? Please, today I'm going to treat you better. Won't you accept me? I come with death and decay. Will you please let me destroy your life? Please let me destroy your family. Please let me destroy your church. Please let me destroy your mind. Please let me destroy your career. Please, please, please let me destroy your organs. Please.
But you know that's not the package it comes in usually. That's the result of the package. But the temporary feeling of, don't you want this? You know this is good. You know how this made you feel last time you had this.
There is no such thing as casual sex.
Ooh. I didn't know we were going there. But
I didn't either. I did not either. But when I get pulled, that means someone in here.
Oh, man.
Because let me just warn you. We are not afraid of man one of you.
No, we're not. No.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Okay? There is one person I have to talk to when this is all said and done, and his name is Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And I am responsible for teaching the Word of God and giving you a path that you choose this day, whether or not you are going to choose life or you're going to choose death. But you can't come through these doors, you can't click play on this podcast and think that we are not going to tell you the truth about your life. We are not going to stick our head in the sand and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. God, save me from my sins. And then you go back out and you keep destroying your life day after day, week after week. We will not wink at sin. We will encourage you to step up. We will encourage you to choose better. We will not only encourage you, but we will empower you to make better choices. And if you spend 12 months here and your life is not incrementally better, it's not because we didn't offer it, it's because you didn't accept what we were giving. And that's a choice. Period. Period. I am tired of the marriages in the church being the absolute worst in all the world. You might as well be like culture who doesn't know a God and just shack up and live together without commitment. But if you stood at that altar and y'all decided to spend all that money on that wedding planner and y'all got them tuxedos and y'all spent all that money on that expensive food and said, I do, you better live up to every single one of them vows that you said at that altar. But it get hard sometimes, though. Let's just be real.
Yeah. You get tempted even in that.
Oh, let's talk about it. My goodness. I got a whole pretty message.
Oh, he out here now, y'all. Lord
made.
Jesus. Lord.
But no, we need to talk. Oh, we need to talk, church. Come on now. See, if you're suffering in secrecy, you're allowing the temptation to overtake you.
Yes.
You got to get honest. And now we have a responsibility to create safe spaces for you to be honest. Yes. See, everything ain't always only. Chapter, verse, no application. Sometimes we have to take the chapter and verse we read and ask, how does this apply to your current context in life? And where are your challenges? And how can we hold you accountable?
Because that's the only thing that's going to transform you, honestly. When you take these principles and you apply them. I can read this Bible all day till I'm blue in the face, but if I don't apply it, my life is not changing. It's just not. I can read it cover to cover. I do the Bible app every I read the Bible the whole year, every year.
Yep.
But if I'm not applying any of this, it's for naught, really.
So how do we overcome temptation? Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. How do we overcome temptation? Because temptation, you fill in the blank. That's what you're going to be tempted with in your area of fear and fatigue. Whatever that is, you leave out of here. I'm telling you right now, you leave out of here, you're going to be tempted in that. Is it how you talk to yourself? Is it insecurity? Is it unforgiveness? Is it retaliation? Oh, I didn't say all the other stuff people think when you think about temptation. I'm coming to where you live today. When you leave out and you're tempted, how do you overcome it? Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Because the more I allow my sinful nature, as we saw in James chapter 1, to entice and drag me, at the end of that verse it says, it full grown will produce death. If you keep going into the cravings of sin, it will destroy your life. Behind the eyes of every pastor and minister is a graveyard. Because we have been around, especially if you've been around any number of years, you have seen what we're reading play out in the lives of ordinary people. As I was sharing with you, you never get used to people passing away. You never. That is the toughest thing about pastoring, is that there are people that you love with all of your heart who they either transition or life happens, and you have to keep on loving while you're still hurting. And I'm thinking about an individual who recently passed, who had it seemingly all together. The money, the family, the status, but ever so slightly, he allowed his sinful cravings to slowly get him off track. And I guess I'm this way because I'm a tad bit stronger on men. Because let me tell you something about men. Men will rise to whatever challenge you set before them. A man doesn't want to be coddled. A man doesn't want you to make it easy. I don't care if he is 97 years old. He does not want you to make anything easier for him. Men, we get up for a challenge. And so what happens is we try to avoid that inevitable challenge. So we stay away from accountability because we know once we're held accountable, there's something in you that says, I got to rise up to this. So with this man, this is something that stays in my mind. This is why I'm the way I am in this house with her. Over a period of time, he began making choices that were very subtle. He quit being open with his wife. So he shut her out emotionally. As he began to travel for business, he began meeting other individuals while he was out and developed an extramarital relationship while he was traveling. And so as the extramarital relationship was growing, the one in the house was declining. And it wasn't before too long that not only what started as something as simple flirtation ended up being his unraveling, because Satan doesn't care how he gets you. Once he gets you, he wants to unravel the entire thing.
If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile.
And I'll never forget the look of fear in his eyes because of, listen, when the feds get you, you feds. And what started as simple flirtation ended up being a case against the federal government for fraud, money laundering, ended up, young man, spending the rest of his life behind bars, away from his young son, becoming a statistic. But when he died, guess who was right there by his side? The woman who he was playing on. The quality of their life was robbed. The ending of his life was robbed with what started as simple flirtation. So we have these sinful cravings that come from our sinful nature. Because in verse 17 it says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. As my wife said earlier, the key to overcoming temptation is to yield to the Spirit. The key to overcoming temptation is to yield to the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and 14 says, as many, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, are the children of God. So everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, you have the opportunity right now to allow God to lead you if you want him to.
You know, our God is a gentleman. He's never going to force you. But he's always going to suggest. And it's really up to us to allow him to do the leading. You know, you were talking about the temptation for men, but for women, some of our biggest temptations are to control things. Sometimes we're so afraid of what we're not going to get that we feel like if we can control you, maybe we'll get the very thing we're looking for. But honestly, ladies, and I'm going to talk for those of you who have boyfriends, those of you who look up for boyfriends, want a boo thing, whatever, or even married, you're never going to get your validation from your spouse, from your significant other. You're never going to get that from him. That is only to be getting from God. So if you're looking for that, you need to accept me, you need to validate me, you need to make me feel secure. Can't no man make you feel secure. And honestly, that's too tall of an order for you to put on him. You've got to be secure within yourself. You got to know who you are. You got to know your self-worth. So that when God sends you your boo thing, you'll be ready and able to accept him and receive him and put him in his place, not the place of your God, but the place of your partner. Amen?
Amen. So we want to close with this. How do we yield to the Spirit? Because if we don't yield to the leadership of Holy Spirit, we will not benefit from the leadership of Holy Spirit. The more you yield, the more you benefit. The less you yield, the less you will benefit from the leading of God. And so yielding is a moment-by-moment decision of unconditional surrender to the plan and purpose of God. Yielding is the moment, by every moment, I have to make a decision that I have unconditional surrender to God's plan. Every moment. Proverbs 3 and 5 in the New King James. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. There is a way that seems right to a man, to a woman, but the end thereof is destruction.
Yeah.
When it comes to major decisions, I follow and listen to no one that tells me to leave the instruction of the Word of God and follow what we think. Never. How can I do that? Proverbs 3 and 6. In all of your ways. Everyone say and type in all of my ways.
All of my ways.
In all of my, what's all? So are there areas that we should withhold from God weighing in on? How about inside of our home? Are there areas inside of our home that we should weigh in or not allow God to weigh in on?
Oh, how about with our money? Amen.
The Greek word for all is all. Everything. Here's how you overcome temptation. In all your ways. Don't come to me if you don't have the Word of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge is also a word found in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, where it says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. The Hebrew word there is yada. In all of your ways, know God more intimately than you ever have before. When you know him, and in the garden, there were no clothes. There was nothing blocking them. It was uninhibited access. Here am I. It wasn't until sin entered the garden that the need to have shame and protect ourselves showed up. And from that time, men, I'm talking to you right now. Ever since that moment, men have been taught to not open up to anybody.
And I will dare to say, we have been taught that vulnerability as a whole is a weakness. That you can't be vulnerable with people. They might hurt you. They might get you. They might betray you. They might talk about you. But God constantly invites us into this intimate place with him, this vulnerable place with him, where we can be real, y'all. Because here's the reality. God knows what you're dealing with anyway, whether you say it out your mouth or not. So what is it to go ahead and just be honest with him and be real about that thing?
Stand to our feet, y'all.